Welcome one, welcome all. Step right up. This is episode one of the Portal Gaming Podcast. We are so excited to be doing this. The Portal Gaming Podcast is a product of The Portal, which is a game and hobby store located at 60 Hilliard Street in Manchester, Connecticut. I'm your host, The Brant, and with me, as always, will be...
Your co-host, Brian.
Awesome. For those of you who don't know, The Portal, I believe it labels itself as the premier New England gaming center. Is that correct?
That's our tagline.
Nice. So definitely come by, check us out, say hi. You can also check us out on the web. That website is www.timemachineportal.com. So you can get further information there. Events, happenings, all sorts of things, weekly gatherings that we have going on. So really awesome. If you are listening to this for the first time, which you are now, if you're hearing us talk, Brian has been so nice as to supply us with a little contest here. So we've got a giveaway. So what are we giving away here, Brian?
Yeah, so we'll just have a contest for a $25 gift card, which will be usable either at The Portal or across the street in our main building at Time Machine Hobby. So, yeah, I guess Brant with the details for how to get involved in that contest.
Yeah, so what we want you to do in order to enter the contest is we need you to send us an email. So send us an email address with gift card in the subject line, and you're going to send that to portalgamingpodcast@gmail.com. So that email address again is portalgamingpodcast@gmail.com. And then in the text of the email, you could just send us your favorite game or your favorite event or something that you really enjoy doing, and we could talk about those things on the show. So we will randomly draw a winner, and you will win the $25 gift card to The Portal and to Time Machine Hobby, as Brian was just talking about there. So do that. We'll take all entries up till June 15th. That's going to be our cutoff date. So make sure
2015. So
yes, 2015. June 15th, 2015. All right. Let's start off with what's on your table. So Brian, why don't you tell us what you've been playing lately?
Yeah, so I guess I've been playing a lot of Race for the Galaxy, particularly with my wife, just because it's, you know, it's an easy game to get to the table. It's pretty quick. We just had a child like 3 months ago, so when he's asleep, we can just kind of get that right out and play a quick game or two. So that one's just been really easy, and it's variable enough because you can start with different planets and whatnot, and different goals, different objectives or whatnot. So I don't know. That one's been really easy, and that one's quickly working up in my, you know, my list of favorite games. So I guess I've been playing that a lot with the wife.
Nice. Race for the Galaxy, that's Rio Grande Games. Well, I have been playing Argent the Consortium, and I know you've been playing it too, Brian, because I've played it with you.
Yes.
But this is a great game. I have played it several times now, I believe four, because I'm tracking.
I think most of the time you've played it with me, you've won, though. So I don't know if that has something to do with it.
could be. But this is from Level 99 Games. They've made other games like Pixel Tactics and Noir, and excited for that Millennium Blades that they're coming out with. It's on Kickstarter.
Battlecon, like all those.
Oh, yeah, all
games,
the Battlecon games. So, but Argent Consortium is a worker placement game. But I guess the biggest thing about the game is that it's variable. It's very, very variable. You put all these tiles out, and these are the locations where you can go. The theme is that you are trying to become the headmaster of a mage school. I always joke that it's Harry Potter, the board game. And so you're placing your workers, which are the students at the school, and they come from different schools of magic, ice and healing and fire and nature, and I'm getting some of these wrong. Technomancy.
Well, I just know them by the colors.
Yeah, they're all colored. And so all the tiles are two-sided. You can flip them over. The mages have different abilities, and they're two-sided. You have all these different cards you select from. So I think that's what makes the game unique, but that's not actually what I think makes the game so good. A lot of people say it's so variable, it's overwhelming, but I feel like they give you an initial layout. You get through the game, and then you realize, oh, this game wasn't nearly as overwhelming as what was all in the box. Right. I really would put it more in a medium weight game, even though it looks to be a heavyweight game.
Yeah, and I mean, most of the objectives are secret, too. So, like, you start off and you don't know what you're trying to play toward, which is really neat, you know, because it can kind of change so much from like one game to another, where maybe someone looks like they're jumping ahead and they're just looking like they're doing really well. All of a sudden, the thing that they're going after doesn't really matter. Or I don't know, it's one of those ones where you're trying to get more than opponents, but not go too much in like certain areas. Though I guess there was the one, the influence seems to be very key to the...
Yeah, the... so far, every time that I have played, the person with the most influence has won. So so for people who don't know, I guess the two keys to this game are, one, there are 12 face-down objectives. Well, two of them start face-up. And at the end of the game, those are each going to get dealt out to different people. So there's most mana, most nature school, most money. Basically, every resource in the game is an objective that could be there. Again, you shuffle up like 18 of them, put 12 out. There's two that are already there. And so you're trying to figure out what these objectives are by placing workers. You can see some of the objectives. And then at the end, those are dished out to everybody. So that's really neat. All ties are broken by this influence track around the board, which is kind of like victory points. The other thing to the game that seems really neat to me is all the workers, it's a worker placement game, but all the workers have a special ability. So the most famous, usually the easiest to describe, is the sorcery, which are kind of the fire mages. And you can actually fireball somebody else's mage off of the spot, wound them, and take their spot, which is a pretty cool mechanic for a worker placement game. Usually it's just kind of, oh, I got that first, but you can take it over from somebody. So very cool game. Anything else about it, Brian?
No, I don't know. I guess to me, it's always kind of had that like a feeling of like the military conflict in Seven Wonders, where you're just trying to like, you know, get a little higher. Like if you solely focus on that, it might not be the best strategy if you're not really competing with your, you know, the people around you. But if you're trying to do it just like enough, like do the minimum that you can to still get the points for it. I don't know. I guess it's just had that feeling to me a lot.
Yeah, no, it's very neat. Sometimes I just guess towards the end, like, what do I think could be out there, and go for that, or you can look at what other people are doing. And you also have spells you can cast in the game, which obviously being a mage game is cool. So that is Argent the Consortium from Level 99 Games.
All right, and yeah, then the next one that I've gotten to the table recently would be Brewcrafters from Dice Hate Me Games. Another worker placement. It had a very close feeling to like Agricola, where, you know, after every round, whatever hasn't been taken, you keep adding more resources to certain spaces that you can take with your workers. And the goal of the game, if you couldn't tell from Brewcrafters, you're just trying to like make different brews, like, you know, beer and whatnot. So I don't know. It did feel like Agricola to me. I don't know if people are familiar with that sort of thing, like just the very basic worker placement with different people that you can contract, like different, like basically different employees that you're bringing into your tableau, and you're just kind of upgrading your building as well and making your brew process a little more streamlined, that sort of stuff. But I don't know, it was fun. I just don't know how often it'll get to the table. It was one where I think if we played it a couple more times, you'll really get the hang of it, and you can play it pretty quickly. It did take us a little while, just because it was my first time, and the other two people that were playing they'd played it another time as well. But for me, it just felt like a little bit more of a barrier than Agricola or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I'm not itching to get it to the table, whereas with Agricola or even like some other worker placement games like Viticulture or something, which has a wine making theme, I'm not focusing just on those, but it was kind of one that brought back memories of that game. I guess what I'm getting at with this one, I don't know if I'm itching to get it to the table again, whereas the other ones I enjoyed a little bit more and was wanting to do it like another time right after. So I don't know, are you familiar with it at all, Brant? Like
I've seen some of it, I've seen some reviews on it. I haven't played it myself yet, so, but it looks interesting. I want to try it. I always, pretty much every worker placement I want to try.
Well, every game, right?
Like, okay, yeah,
not you got just me worker there.
Nice.
So, and then what was the other one that you were?
So my last game is an older one, but this is the Lord of the Rings living card game. And I know that you play this as well, and several other people, but I just wanted to highlight this game. This is a phenomenal game. And I play a lot of solo games, so other people don't, but I pretty much am comfortable saying this is the greatest solo game that is available on the market in my mind. There are some others that I think are really good. I love Mage Knight.
That one's close.
Is very good. And some others, but I mean, what makes Lord of the Rings so unique is every month they release these new quest packs, and you get a quest pack and you've got a totally new quest, and they have really focused on making those individual. They're thematic, they're mechanically different. Sometimes they fall flat and they're not that exciting, but more often than not, they're great. But one thing about this game is, unlike just a board game, you open it, you play it, is you're collecting all this, and so you're putting everything together over time. So, but I don't know, what has it been out for? 4 years, I would say it's probably been around, if not more.
Yeah, at least. I think it's got to be at least like 2010?
Yeah, something like that. So, you know, you're looking at this game, and you know, you maybe bought everything over the life of it's $500-$600, but I mean, it's $100 a year. It's a lot, but you know, it's not much compared to what a lot of people pay in this hobby over time. And so, you know, it's got everything. It's got the deck building like you would in a Magic the Gathering. It's got solo play. You can play with 2, 3, 4 players. We've even played it with 5, where you just try to add a couple extra pieces. It was pretty tough with 5 players, but lots of interaction, and I have just thoroughly enjoyed it. I've actually started over on the Saga one. You can play through the Lord of the Rings. A lot of the quests are kind of Fantasy Flight's own take on what could happen in the world of Middle Earth, but they finally went and made the actual Saga, the Lord of the Rings, and you can play through, and your characters kind of rank up your deck, you get a couple extra cards in it, and you can play through the stories. So they just released the 3rd set for that, and so that I think it's Treason of Saruman, and so I've been playing through that. I haven't gotten to that one yet, but it's a good game. It could be really tough. It could be really frustrating. I think it would be really fun to play if you had another person. 4 would be phenomenal. You just have to find 4 people who want to deck build. You could always give them your deck. And of all deck building games, I feel like this is the best one. You could just say, trust me, just play this deck. You'll figure it out. We're working together. Unlike Magic, where you have to tell somebody, well, you're really trying to get this guy out and then this guy and combo with this and that. And they kind of need to know the deck. You know, you can kind of tell them what to do, but that's not so fun. In this one, people can kind of figure out from your deck, usually, unless you have a really crazy combo. So, yeah. I don't know. What are your thoughts on Lord of the Rings?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I guess initially when I had played it, like way back when just the core set was out, it didn't really jump out as something that was all that great. So I kind of wrote it off initially. It was fun, but it wasn't like, you know, this amazing game that, but it has really turned into something that, like you said, it kind of hits that itch of like building a deck, like, you know, just searching through your cards and putting something together that you just want to try out. Cause there are so many combos now with all the cards that are the whole card pool. And it's just been really interesting. Like the quests are so unique and there are so many of them now, like I guess storage is the only problem for the game.
Yeah, definitely.
And just trying to get everything organized and, you know, but I think if this was easier to get to the table for me, it would probably be my favorite game. Yeah. I think right now, like with Race for the Galaxy being so easy to just, you know, play in like half an hour, 45 minutes, that one's really jumped beyond it. But Lord of the Rings was up there for a while, and it's still an amazing game. I definitely need to get it to the table again soon.
Yeah, it's very good. The other thing they did, which was great, is they made, I don't know how long ago, a couple of years ago, they switched it where now they have the regular mode that it comes in, but they have easy mode where you can actually remove some of the cards. And you might say, well, I don't want no easy mode. Well, what's great is people make thematic decks. So if you really want the dwarves, you know, and Bilbo, and you need that for your deck so you can relive the Hobbit, or you just want the actual characters from Lord of the Rings, or whatever it is, you can make a thematic deck. You know, this is all Sylvan Elves or Noldor or whatever it is. So that easy mode works really well for that, where you could just play something that feels very thematic, like you're in the book. And then they have the Nightmare mode, which are actually as separate packs you have to buy, but that's for the true strategist, tactician. It's kind of both in this game, actually.
Yeah.
Both are kind of in there. You have to pre-think about what you need and react to what happens.
Well, because some of the quests are very, like, it's detrimental if you don't bring a certain type of deck to the table.
Right.
So you could just, you know, be hosed pretty quickly, or you can just run through certain ones, some of the easier ones. It does feel like you're not really doing a whole lot. So it's really advanced. Like, now that they've got the Nightmare decks, they can really go back and revisit some of the older ones once they've kind of got an expanded card pool, which must be very difficult to maintain. I don't know how they do it.
I don't want to be in that boat. So anyway, great game. Lord of the Rings, living card game. Check it out. Ask us at the store. If you see us there, we will find a time to sit down and play this game with you. We will teach you. I have decks, and that would be a super blast. So that's what's happening. So tell us what some of your favorite games are. We want to talk about those, see what other people are playing. So again, you can send information to portalgamingpodcast@gmail.com. All right, so let's move on to some upcoming events. So first off, I just want to highlight every week we have multiple weekly events going on. We have weekly events for Magic the Gathering, for Warhammer Fantasy, Warhammer 40K. Brian, tell us some of the other things that you know off the top of your head that are weekly.
I mean, the most solid ones for like Magic would be, there's a draft on Tuesdays. I believe that's at 7 o'clock, and you just, you know, pay for the 3 packs and then sit down and just draft. Friday Night Magic, along with Friday Night Warhammer 40K, like those have been pretty solid, though I think right now it's kind of going into the summer lull. Like, so it'd be great to see some new faces and just, you know, I know it's nice outside, but there are definitely some opportunities. Like, hopefully we can have some really cool events coming up. I think we're trying to do like a summer kickoff, so just keep your eyes open for like a very substantial Magic the Gathering tournament, like on a Friday night or whatnot. So, but more details to come on that.
Yeah, and you can check out all the weekly events. You can you know, go onto the website, timemachineportal.com, and all the weekly events are listed there for you. So whatever you're looking for. And if you don't see something that you like, then you can start up a night. So just come and talk to us and we'll find a night of things we could start. We'd love to have people.
And on the stuff. Facebook too, like, you can just get the link for our Facebook page there. And that one's very well maintained. We've got a couple people like Joe and John from, and Josh from the portal. Like, they'll basically be updating that whenever there is a question or, you know, if there's an upcoming event, they can definitely post it pretty quickly and just touch base with anyone that's got any questions.
Yeah, we could call them the Blue Jays because they wear blue, and then Josh, John, and Joe.
Wait, what do you mean they wear blue?
Well, they used to wear blue.
Oh, yeah, but they don't. We've got the new shirts.
Oh, we got new shirts. Okay. All right, never mind.
Well, they're black shirts, so.
Black Jays? All right, moving on. Let's highlight some other events that are happening here. So one thing that's starting up for the summer and moving on, hopefully beyond that, is Wednesday nights. We're going to start a board game night. So you can come play a game. We'll have demos. We'll have people playing. We'll have maybe some tournaments, events, other things going on. So Wednesday nights starting June 3rd. So that's the first Wednesday in June at 6 o'clock to close every Wednesday. We're just going to have people come in playing board games. So come check it out. I'll be there. You could request a game ahead of time if you want, and I will help you. I will gladly demo. I love teaching games to people. Sometimes I think I like teaching games more than playing.
And I mean, we close at 11 o'clock every night, except Friday we push it back to midnight. So we are open late. It's not just like 6 to 8. It's 6 to 11.
Yes,
so.
Thank you. Yes. So 6 to 11 would be when that's happening. So the other big event is on June 13th, we are hosting a game of Twilight Imperium 3. Yes, this is that giant box game that you've probably seen, heard about, maybe played from Fantasy Flight Games. Big epic space battle. Brian, have you played this?
I have not.
Oh, I have played it several times, and it is a doozy. This game lasts 4 to 8 hours, and it's just one of those games that, speaking of hard to get to the table, Twilight Imperium 3 is. But it's a phenomenal game. And so we're going to be hosting this game. So we're taking signups for that. We're going to start with rules at 10 a.m. And then if you already know the rules, really know the rules, the game will start at 10:30. So you can sign up for that. I know it's a little early for some people.
Do you want people to sign up through the email or?
Yep. So they can email Portal Gaming Podcast, or you can email. I'm sorry. Or you can come to the store and sign up. We'll have a sign up sheet there. And so if we get enough people, we'll open up 2 copies of the game and go from there. So I will be running this. So come check it out. Do realize it takes about 4 to 8 hours, so make sure you set aside your Saturday. But a lot of people have been asking to play this game, and I thought this would be really fun. We're going to try to do this once a month, where we open up a big game and give people a chance to play with a whole bunch of people and play one of those games that takes many hours. And I'll be there to help run through it and keep everything running smoothly. So it should be really exciting.
So yeah, it won't just be Twilight Imperium every month. It'll be something new.
And... yeah, different games every month. I'm hoping that we'll have Forbidden Stars coming back from Gen Con. So super excited about that. So we'll see there. Okay, so next up we want to discuss an event we had at the Portal. This was the 24 hours of board gaming. So, Brian, why don't you give us an overview of what happened? Tell us what was going on, what this was for, and what you played.
Yeah, so for International Tabletop Day, we've been running like a 24-hour board game event the past couple of years. And it's really taken off. Like last year, it was pretty good. I was there all 24 hours trying to play like a game the entire time, except for like a brief mishap with one of the bathrooms at the Portal. It was very successful. This year we actually had a ton of people. Like there's a board game club that's been meeting on Sundays, and they stayed, like a bunch of them stayed the entire 24 hours, even longer than that, because people were playing like Friday night in through Saturday. So it's been really great. Like all the vendors that we have that we purchase stuff from, they're really, you know, giving us a lot of support. You know, Geek and Sundry has really been promoting it and getting out like promotional stuff to the distributors. So we were able to get a bunch of games, do a bunch of raffles. The big one was we have raffled off a copy of Dead of Winter at the end of it. And that game has been out of stock. I don't know if you've been trying to get it, but it's been tough to come by. There's like the initial wave that came in, and then it's been very difficult to get since then. So yeah, I guess just some of the games that I played. I'm trying to think. We had a big pandemic tournament. I don't know if you want to mention anything about that, because Brant and another regular at the store ended up winning the first event.
We did, yeah, and we are actually playing in the Nationals Friday, July 31st at Gen Con. We're playing in the national tournament for that, so we'll see how that goes. So more to come on that.
Yeah, and then besides that, there were just a bunch of, like, I ended up playing Shogun for the first time, and that was really fun. Then there were a couple, like, smaller games, like Age of War, which is, like, it's a similar mechanic to, like, Elder Sign, where you're just trying to, like, roll dice and allocate them to different, like, different sections. That's not really a good description, but it's a very quick dice game from Fantasy Flight, a very small box, and you can just kind of open it up. You don't really need to describe the, like, it's a very quick intro and a very fun, fast-paced game. So that one was a very big hit. A couple of my friends from college actually stopped by and ended up picking up the game as well.
Nice.
So
yeah, that one is it's like hard to explain why it's so fun, and it's so fun.
Yeah,
it's just the perfect filler, 5-10 minutes, and you're just rolling dice and everybody's laughing. We were throwing stuff off the table.
Yeah,
people are just laughing about that. So
that was the most active. And it's just this tiny box. One guy actually, like, someone rolled one of the dice off the table and someone dove off to try to bash it back up. They threw it back up on the table as they were falling down, and it rolled off the other side of the table. So I don't know, that one just had, it was a great success for, yeah, for the event. I think it's partially good because we were probably exhausted by the point where we did crack it out. You know, I think it was like midday Saturday where we really started it, and then my friends came down like 3 or 4. So, you know, since like Friday night into Saturday, like, mm-hmm, that's a decent amount of gaming. So at that point, your brain is a little fried. You don't want to break out something like Merchants and Marauders like we had done the previous year.
Yeah, that didn't go so well. It's one of our last games of the night.
Yeah, but I don't know. And you were there too for a bit. Like, was there something that you enjoyed from that event?
Yeah, so I played this a little different this year. I went to bed early Friday night, and I got up at 2 a.m. Saturday morning, and I drove up to the store. I got there just before 3 a.m., And I got there and I was shocked at how many cars were in the parking lot. And I walk inside and there's 30 people there through the night. That was awesome. And so it was super exciting. So I jumped in on a game of Bloodbound. So this is a hidden roll game. And I thought, boy, how many hidden roll games can you make? Like, you figure, okay, hidden roll games are awesome. They made a bunch, Werewolf, etc. And we're good to go. And this was another one, and it really was a blast. I really thought it was a well-structured game, and really good there. We played some Dead of Winter, which was good, and jumped in, played the Pandemic Tournament, had a couple friends show up, and I was able to play some other games. So there was a lot of people. I would say at times there was 150 or more people, maybe even 200. It was crazy. It was definitely awesome. It was exciting. Lots of energy. People playing games. And of course we have the demo game. So all that stuff on the shelf that people can just come in and play, which is really neat. So it was a really fun day. So I was there till about 3 PM. I had to take my daughter to a daddy daughter dance. So I headed out. So I didn't make the 24 hours this year. Last year I did close. I think I did 20 or 18 or something like that. So we'll see for next year if I can fit it in. So, but that was a great day. Anything else about the 24 hours of gaming?
I just want to say, like, the atmosphere is awesome. Especially like the board games that we've been playing and all that sort of stuff. Like, it's not as tense, like, as a tournament where people are kind of butting heads. Like, this is very family friendly. Like, we just had so many people out there. I know like Harrison was doing an Extra Life thing. Like, he was doing the 24 hours playing there. So that was awesome. We had a bunch of other people. Like I said, the club, they just were great. All these families were coming out too. And it was a good time. So my wife ended up showing up with our child. At that point, he was only like 2 months old, but she got to play like Rampage with a family that she met there. So I don't know. It's a good time. I think board games really open it up to a family-friendly atmosphere, and I think that's the best thing that we can have happen, and that's really what our store is about. Like, we want people interacting with their families. We want them just, like, you know, face-to-face in a family-fun environment, so.
Yeah, definitely agree. Love that for the store, love the environment, love the face-to-face interaction of board games that they bring. There's lots of hobbies and activities that people do, but this one just seems to have that right spot where you could play a really serious game and try to match wits with somebody, and then you can just be joking around, throwing dice off a table or knocking over meeples with a dinosaur or whatever it is, and be having a good time. And it just kind of meets everybody where they're at and brings everybody together. So, and the store does a great job helping to promote that. All right, so let's talk about what's new at the store. So we are recording this on May 17th, 2015. So I believe the new things that have come in for Star Wars fans, Armada Wave 1 is in, and that is a
most
whole
of it.
Bunch of ships. Some of it's not in.
I think
in.
We sold out of at least one of the ships, but hopefully we can get more in. I know at least from one of our distributors, they're basically out of stock at the moment. But we'll keep our eyes open, try to get more stuff in, and that's really taken off. Like, people are enjoying that. And
Yeah. Armada is a – Star Wars Armada is a Star Wars miniatures game, similar to X-Wing, but kind of totes itself more as a board game. It's more that way than the X-Wing game, I believe, and it's focused on the bigger ships. So what you can't fit in X-Wing, you can't have a Star Destroyer, you can't have a Mon Calamari cruiser. They just wouldn't fit to scale. But this makes those ships large and then kind of scales down the X-Wings and the TIE Fighters and stuff to a smaller size and focuses on the bigger ships. And it's not as much about maneuvering as it is kind of the raw power of your ship and other abilities and things. So I was surprised how quick this came out, all these waves, and how much stuff there is in the first wave. So it really seems like if this is a game you want to get into, you can really jump in full force right off the bat. And we have several people both who are at the store and work at the store who play this already. I haven't had a chance to play yet, and I'm dying. I've actually been texting some people like, can you teach me? I
almost don't want to play it because I if I do like it, and I'm sure I will. I'll need to get everything.
Here we go.
It's the completionist sort of mentality.
Yeah. And
it's very difficult working at a game store.
Yeah. But anyway, if that is a game you want to check out, we have all that stuff. So super exciting. Another one that came out, Elysium. This is one I've been very excited about. This is a Greek gods.
Yeah.
Card game. And it's kind of a drafting style game. There's a center pool and you draft cards and they all have sorts of different abilities. And what's kind of neat is you draft a card. It has an ability you can use, but eventually you've got to kind of get rid of that card to score points and you no longer get its ability, but you get the points for it. So it's that balance of how do I draft cards that work together? And then how do I finally get rid of them so I can get to the end goal of scoring points? So this is definitely a game that I want to get to the table, and we have it at the store.
Yes, we had 5 copies as of the other day. It was nice because with Asmodee, they're actually doing like a pre-launch. Like we got a kit with a bunch of copies of Elysium a couple weeks before the actual release date. So hopefully it's not a bad thing to be talking about on the podcast.
Yeah.
But we do have a bunch in stock, and I don't know, that company's been doing really well. Like hopefully they can keep it going. Like they're doing the Asmo Play, which should be coming up later this year for like
Splendor.
I think it's 7 Wonders, Splendor, that sort of stuff. And it's really, you know, like an organized play sort of thing with like promos. They didn't look like they were necessarily like functionally different, but it's just neat to get some different like promotional stuff with different artwork or all that sort of stuff. So
yeah, definitely. So if you see me around, definitely ask me to play. I'll demo Elysium 2. I'm sure by the time this gets out there, I will have played it and hopefully be loving it. So love to teach that. What do we have in terms of other stuff in the store for Magic, Warhammer, those kind of things, Brian? Do you know?
Yeah, so coming up, I think it's the 23rd. I don't know, 22nd, 23rd, we're going to have Modern Masters coming out. And that's actually, we've got a bunch of pre-orders already for that. So if you haven't pre-ordered anything for that, try to give us a call and touch base with us as soon as you can. I don't know when this is going to get posted, but hopefully you've still got some time or, you know, but last Modern Masters was, it felt like it was like, we got it. And then all of a sudden it was completely sold out. So hopefully Wizards of the Coast will keep it going. It sounds like there are going to be a couple more boxes available for us after the release. But we're bringing in the maximum amount we can. We're going to be running a bunch of events. I think the midnight, is it Thursday the 21st? I think we're going to be doing like a launch sort of thing midnight the first day we can. So then we're going to be running like a sealed tournament, I believe, or maybe a draft. We're going to be running a tournament of some sort, and we're going to be able to sell it like at midnight. So, you know, that's exciting. For Warhammer, I guess I'm not as as ingrained in that culture. So I don't know. I guess John would be a good one to touch base with. But we are bringing in the new releases every week.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and as always, a great place is to stay updated on that. It's the Facebook page, and there's a big board at the store. So when you walk in, people know what's coming, what's new. It's right there for you. So there's ways to find out. And, you know, if you're looking for something, just ask. We can always help you out with that. So you want to check out those things at the store that are new. All right, for our last segment, we want to talk about what's on the shelf. So this is particularly dealing with all the demo games we have available and things that people can come. So if you haven't been to the store, there's a whole room for board gaming and there's shelves lined up and there's all sorts of games, and that's just open gaming. You could just come and play a game at a table, and if somebody's around, they can help you demo. And we just want to highlight some of the games that are on the shelf. So let me start with Survive Escape from Atlantis. This is a very popular game. This is reprinted from Stronghold Games. And this is, you are on Atlantis, the island is sinking, and everybody's trying to get their people off the island. There are monsters and sharks, and you got boats to try to get on, and whales, and I don't know. There's all sorts of stuff with expansions. And it is a super duper fun game. And so that's definitely one that people can help you with at the store. So that is on the demo shelf. Brian, you want to tell us about next game?
Yeah, and then the other one at the portal that is a really good entry level or advanced sort of thing, We've got Lords of Waterdeep. I think we also have the the Scoundrels of Skullport, the expansion for it. But the base game is very good. Like, it's a great worker placement. You're putting them out, trying to complete these quests that you've got in front of you. I don't know. It does feel a little bit like you're just getting cubes based on the color. But if you really read the flavor text and whatnot, it definitely, you can see where they're trying to, like, get fighters to, like, I don't know, one of the quests, but you're just trying to get different, like, different people to bring them to your tableau and try to complete the quests that you've got in front of you. And the really neat thing about it is you're building more buildings as you go along, so there are more spaces available with some more advanced worker placement options. So it's a really good entry-level one that, you know, it's kind of entry-level, but you can play with advanced people as well, so...
Yeah, both these games, kind of highlighting these because they're very accessible. They're accessible for all ages. You could play with your kids, not little kids, but I would say, you know, 8-10 years old. It would be totally fine for them to jump into these games. They're very fun. Thematically, they're very exciting, and they're not too long. You know, they're both like an hour-long game. So kind of wanted to highlight those so you know those are on the shelf. You can ask a staff member. They can help you with these games, kind of our goal. By listening to this, you get an idea for some games you can try if you haven't. And we have some more complex stuff. You know, if you're looking for something more difficult, there's a lot of other great stuff on there that, you know, you might want to read up before you come, or you can always ask somebody that can help you with that. But we kind of wanted for this section to highlight some of these games that are just, hey, we're in the store, we got an hour, what could we play and try and see? That's it, Brian. That is episode one. We did it. How do you feel?
That was good.
That was exciting.
It's definitely a learning process.
So thanks so much for listening to us. We had a great time. And so we hope to do this again and keep getting these podcasts out to you. Don't forget about that contest, June 15th, $25 gift card. So you just send an email to portalgamingpodcast@gmail.com. So till the next episode, I am the Brant.
And I'm Brian.
And we hope that you step into the portal. Portal Gaming Podcast is a product of Time Machine Toy and Hobby Store / The Portal, which is located at 71 and 60 Hilliard Street in Manchester, Connecticut. This episode was recorded on May 17, 2015. Please send any questions to us at portalgamingpodcast@gmail.com. Special thanks to Omar Naaman and Epic Arts for assisting in the recording of this podcast. Thank you for listening to episode number one of the Portal Gaming Podcast.